This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, November 16, 2022. The Memorial of St. Gertrude by Father William Doc Holliday.
Without me, you can do nothing.
With the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, we accept from thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen. This vine and the branches discourse, very familiar, as is that verse, without me you can do nothing. But if you really pay attention to what that says, it can be somewhat overwhelming. Without me you can do nothing. It doesn't say without me you can't be really religious, or without me you can't be a good Catholic. Without me you can do nothing. That is telling. Doesn't mean that you can't take actions, you can't do this, that, or the other thing. What does he mean by do nothing? Basically, very, very St. Thomas Aquinas. Everything that we do in this world, absolutely everything, has to be for the proper end. Not just the means that we attain it, but the end itself. The end has to be eternal salvation with our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the end of every one of the acts that we do in this world. And the only way we could do those acts is to be in union with our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he means. He means that, again, not that we can't conduct some kind of activities in this world without him. Without him, we can do nothing. That the ends are our salvation without him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. He just says a few verses before this particular passage. We have to know this reality. This reality is kind of flies in the face of the presentation in our day and age, how great we are and all that, and God just loves us because of who we are. Obviously not what our Lord Jesus Christ says. Without me, you can do nothing. You have to be in union with me. Our Lord wants us to know this reality. And this is not something that he's saying to a person that, you know, it's an unbeliever. He's talking to his disciples when he says this. He's talking to us. He wants us to know that we must maintain that union with him. This is the whole vine and the branches thing. Because before our baptism, you know, again, a reality of our life is that we are separated from God. We have no part with him. And again, there's people in this day and age, you make a salary, we're all brothers and sisters, we're all children of God. In a creative sense, yes, but so is everything else in this world. What makes us special is that we believe in him. And those who believe in him, as we hear in the last gospel, at the end of almost every mass here, that when we believe in him, then he gives us power to become the sons of God. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ is talking about. This is the whole vine and the branches thing. Because after our baptism, we are in union with him. We are dead sticks before we are placed in union with Christ. As a result of our baptism, we are engrafted into him. Our baptism, that whole motif of baptism, that being washed away from original, any actual sins, that whole motif is this whole being clean thing. Because before our Lord, it's actually before he says, without me, you can do nothing. He just wants us to understand that reality. Before he has said this, he said, now you are clean by reason of the word which I have spoken to you. Which is really kind of interesting because, you know, the whole sacrament of baptism thing, that's what cleans us and everything. Our Lord doesn't say, now you are clean by reason of your baptism. Because why? That could lend itself to ritualism. That could lend itself to just a particular act can get it. No, now you are clean by reason of the word which I have spoken to you. That word that abides in us as a result of our baptism. This engrafting is what is so important. this union with Christ that's not philosophical, this union with Christ that is not a propositional thing, a union with Christ that is real in an ontological sense, our very being, being in union with Christ. You know, that first reading today from Ephesians chapter 3, no, you always pay attention to that. But I mean, there's a verse in there, verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 3, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. You know, not just that you may be filled with God, but you will be filled with all the fullness of God. This is how profound our union with Christ is. We are actually part of his, not part as in, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. We do works for him and that. No. We are actually part ontologically of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're just not members of the church, okay, as if it's a big club. Not the case. Each and every one of us as individuals are in union with Christ Jesus. And if we allow for this, and if we cooperate with the graces, we can be filled with all the fullness of God, as the Holy Spirit says through St. Paul to the Ephesians. This is the transition from being separated from God by our birth. And we don't separate ourselves from him before our baptism by sin. It doesn't make any difference. We are separated from him before our baptism. We can separate ourselves from him after our baptism through sin. But this whole transition process of that's going to last until we breathe our last in this world, this transition from being nothing to being in union with God to experience him in all his fullness, this is what we aspire toward as Catholics. This is why we maintain a life of grace. This is why we embrace the sacraments that draw us closer to Christ. We use all the means of grace, prayer, the word of God, everything, sacramentals, to permeate our lives with this one with whom we are in union. I mean, this is why our Lord became incarnate. He became incarnate because why not just do the, like he did with Moses and just give him some tablets with some writing on it? Or why, you know, why not do something like that? Why just not speak from on high and tell how great we are and, you know, he is going to save us eventually and all this? No, he takes on our flesh and comes down here to enable us to understand that we physically participate in not only his being, but in the plan of redemption. This is that whole body of Christ thing that the Catholic Church is. This is a result of the incarnation, and this is how we should engage with this world and with the church. Because this transition that we make, and I said it's ongoing, it's a process. It's a matter of being baptized, and all of a sudden you have all the fullness of God and everything. As a matter of fact, it's just about the opposite. Most of us are baptized when we're infants, okay? There's a little spark of the Holy Spirit that's put in us. We have to fan those flames. We have to fuel that fire. It takes work. This whole idea, the vine and the branches thing, the transition from being a dead twig and then engrafted into the vine that is our Lord Jesus Christ is really kind of interesting. You know, you don't have to be a gardener. You don't have to be good at it. You know, I play around with it. I'm not particularly good at it. I'm just talking about growing things the way they're supposed to be. You start talking about grafting things onto one another, it takes precision. You can't do too much. Can't do too little. Okay, it takes precision, it's arduous, it just takes a lot of work, and we always got to remember this part, when our Lord doesn't use examples like this just because. He wants us to understand, yeah, precise, yeah, arduous, but guess what that happens in a lot of grafts? They don't work. They do not work. A lot of grafts just don't take. That's not the vine's fault. That's the graft's fault. The graft is the one that has to start taking the life-giving sustenance from the vine. This is us with our Lord Jesus Christ. We are engrafted. And again, this puts us on notice as we live our Catholic life, because after our baptism, the baptism is the engrafting. But that arduous process of continually working and trying to become more and more one with the vine, it doesn't always work. Look around here. Most of us, I think, every single one of us in here knows not just one, but several people who have been engrafted into our Lord by their baptism, and now they are just dead twigs. This is the reality that our Lord wants us to understand. This transition from being a separated stick to being a not only a piece of the vine, but a fruit-bearing piece of the vine. St. Gertrude today, her memorial, prime example of this, this transition, this process. St. Gertrude went to live in a monastery when she was 5 years old. Five. She was the convent. She's 5 years old, and St. Milchilda, who was 15 years older than her, she takes her under her wing. She nurtures her. She grows in spirituality. She actually was flourishing and doing quite well in the convent. That she was really just basically like every other nun, except for the fact that she was very intelligent, and she became a Latinist and a grammarian, and then she started writing things, translating words for them, and writing some things for them, and taking down notation for the women who couldn't write. So she was a grammarian, and she was very intellectual, but it took a profound visitation from our Lord Jesus Christ, a vision, to take her from the part where she was a good nun and a holy nun. You know, she knew her stuff scholastically and everything, but when she had a vision of our Lord Jesus Christ, it changed her life. As it says in the breviary this morning, she went from being a grammarian to being a theologian. Then she starts writing about our Lord Jesus Christ. She starts writing all these profound things that have made her a doctor of the church. This is St. Gertrude, the transition. 5 years old, living. A couple decades later, then the graft really takes and she starts bearing fruit. But even when we bear fruit, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, even if you bear fruit, you will be pruned so that you can bear more fruit. It's a difficult proposition, this whole pruning thing, because if you look at it, pruning hurts. It's cutting something off that's living. This is our life in this world. As difficult as it is to know this whole reality of us being engrafted into Christ from being a dead twig, and as laborious as the engrafting process may be, there are positives through this whole thing. Even knowing this reality, without Christ, you can do nothing. We're Catholics. We can make something good out of anything. So even when your Lord looks at you and says, without me, you can do nothing, that should be a consolation to us. It's a St. Jose Maria Escriva, the founder of Opus Dei. He actually says, talking about this particular passage right here, when talking about this our Lord's statement, when without me, you can do nothing, St. Jose Maria Escriva, he responds, now I can be a little surprised by my silly mistakes. To know that without Christ, I can do nothing. So even when I'm in union with Christ, when I make these goofy mistakes, they're on me. Again, that is really a consolation. Instead of beating ourselves up over these things that we do in this world, no matter how horrible the sin may be that we may commit, it shouldn't surprise you that you do it. I'm always talking about, always getting kind of kick out of people, you know, coming to the office or coming to the confessional. I can't believe I have to say this. Oh, so you're Saint so-and-so. You can't believe you sinned? Come on, you're killing me with this. This is our Catholic life. That's why we have the confessional. That's why you go talk to the priest in his office. You're not going to surprise him. If the priest's been a priest for more than 6 months, you're not going to surprise him with one thing. That just not happen. We shouldn't be surprised at the silly mistakes we make. When we understand that without Christ we can do nothing, we just realize that when we make those mistakes, we weren't paying attention to him. We didn't take in consideration his will. This is our reality. And understanding our silly mistakes, some of them aren't quite so silly, when we understand them, that's that pruning process. And of course, it hurts. It hurts to be pruned when you look at that. If plants could talk, they would tell you they don't like it. That's the reality of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a good thing. We will bear more fruit for that. This is the results of being engrafted in our Lord Jesus Christ. Before that, we could do nothing. And now we can do everything. Now we can have the fullness of God in Christ Jesus. This is what he says. God cannot lie. But it's up to us to ensure that we take advantage of this. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.